Welcome back. We, my co-host Lori Wildenberg, and I are so excited to welcome you to season two of Mom's Better Together podcast. If you are looking for Rise Up to Raise Up Faith-Filled Kids, you found us. We, along with our Life Audio producers, found a better name.
Mom's Better Together captures the essence of our message and is a complement to the Moms Together Facebook community. We hope you check out Moms Together on Facebook as another resource for your mom's faith toolkit.
During our seven episodes in season one, we discussed the moms and grandmoms of our biblical heroes. We examined what we could learn from these women, and if you haven't listened to our first season, you will want to check it out.
And now, this is our first of seven episodes of season two. We are so excited about this, aren't we, Heather?
Very.
We are going to be talking about godly character traits, and who better to focus on in Scripture than Joseph. Joseph, the Joseph in the Old Testament, the guy with the coat of many colors. You've most likely heard of him. He totally exemplified the fruit of the Spirit as his life unfolded. And of course, as we go through the next seven shows, we're going to discover that although Joseph did exemplify a lot of the fruit of the Spirit, we'll also realize, you know, he wasn't perfect either. Mm-mm. And but he did have a teachable heart, and he did a lot of things well. So now we are calling season two, Raising Up a Joseph. So before we dive into our podcast, we need a little background on Joseph just to kind of set the stage. So Heather, could you go ahead and give us just a little bit of background on our friend Joseph?
There is so, so, so much that we can learn from Joseph's story. And we're just going to give you like a very, very sweeping overview today. So from what we've gathered from the Bible and our study of Joseph, we know that he was one of the greatest men in history. His story can be found in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. And what we do know is that he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And we also know that he was overconfident as a child because he was favored by his father more than any of his brothers. His overconfidence, pride, and understanding of God's designs on top of being favored by his father made it unbearable for his older brothers to be around. His self-assurance was later molded by struggle, emotional pain, and setbacks. But what we can see through his hardships was how God was slowly molding him and shaping his self-confidence into God confidence. And what I love about his story is that every time he encountered setbacks, he didn't become bitter. He became better, and he relied on the Lord. And this is a character that we want to cultivate in our kids. I'm currently in the trenches of having a teen and tween at home and already have one child in college too. But what I see in Joseph's story is what I want to cultivate in my kids. When they face setbacks, I want them to have a Joseph-like attitude. The beginning of this kind of attitude is to acknowledge that God is always with us, and there is nothing like God's presence to shine the light in dark situations. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing like God's presence to shine the light in dark situations. So now that we've given you a broad overview of his life and what this episode is going to be about, Lori, can you share how we paired his story with the fruit of the Spirit in order to raise up a Joseph?
Yes. And I don't want to miss the point of what you said, that God is always with us. And when you get a chance to just read through that story of Joseph, it is mentioned many times that God was with Joseph. So I think that's really something for all of us to keep in mind. God was with Joseph in the pit, in the prison, in the palace. So that is something for our kids to always know. And how we ended up matching Joseph with the fruit of the Spirit is really his life story totally exemplifies this. And as we read the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians, we think, wow, you know, those are character qualities I want. Those are character qualities I want my kiddos to have. I want to see that in our home. So when we really take a good peek at Joseph's life, really dig into that, we can see that he totally demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit. And what this means is good fruit is the result of having a Spirit-led life. and the qualities of a spirit-filled life that is produced in a person, we can find in Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Oh my gosh, don't we want that in our homes, right?
All the time.
Oh my gosh, I want that in myself. If you get a chance to take a look at Galatians 22 through 26, pop up to the paragraph just above and read through that. And, you know, whether our kids are having an experience, a Joseph-like experience being in the pit or the prison or the palace, we really hope to encourage the development of those fruitful characteristics. And man, we all know, and we've all been experiencing this, life is filled with challenges of griefs and successes and happiness and just a mixture of everything. So no matter what, our kiddo's temporary situation, we still hope to see that spiritual fruit. And as most farmers and gardeners would tell us, fruit needs to be tended and to cultivate it, and it takes time. Just like Joseph, he took time. He was a slave for 11 years, and he was in prison for two. It took time from 17 to the age of 30 for these characteristics to really be fostered in him. And I think it's important for us to remember our kids are in a process. They're not going to be perfect. And one of the cool things Heather actually picked out and brought to my attention, she had mentioned, and it's in scripture in Genesis 41:38, even Pharaoh recognized there was something different about Joseph. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man in whom the Spirit, one in whom the Spirit of God? So Pharaoh even recognized that Joseph had fruit. And boy, we do see that in people, and we want to make sure that we cultivate that in our kids. So today, the specific fruit that we're going to take a bite into is the fruit of self-control and patience. And we need to be open to, first of all, developing these in ourselves, because when we develop it in ourselves, we are more able to encourage our kids. And they also realize that we are human. And when we do this, it is actually from a humble position, and then it's a little better received. So Heather, you've got a story when you were reading through Joseph and, you know, contemplating the fruit of the Spirit, you had a story that came to mind. Would you be willing to share that a little bit?
Oh gosh, yeah. It reminds me of my youngest Tori. And so first I have to tell you that she's like this bubbly, fierce 12-year-old, and she has a very tender soul, and she's also kind of like a justice seeker. And so her desire to see justice is, you know, that is such an amazing trait to see that, you know, God is cultivating in her, but also at the same time, it can be her Achilles heel. So I have a story about when she was in preschool. And I think it was like one of the most embarrassing moments in my life as a mom. And so I had taken her to the park one morning right after preschool, where she was happily playing around her favorite pirate playground. And so on one side of the ship is like this, you know what those things are called? Those like little seesaw thingies that go back and forth.
A teeter totter?
They're not really a teeter totter, because it's kind of like on a spiry little piece of metal.
Oh, just, yeah. Those little little horses or donkeys that you can. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this one was shaped like a dolphin, and it was her absolute favorite toy. And so anyways, there was a little boy that was playing on it. So Tori turned to me and she asked me, Mom, I want to go play on the dolphin. Can I go play? And so I told her, well, you're going to have to wait until it's your turn. So in the meantime, you and I can practice patience while we wait. So she skipped off and she seemed to be satisfied with an answer, but then she came back 5 minutes later and she asked, you know, when it was going to be her turn. And so I looked up and the little boy was still playing. So I repeated like what I had said before. And so Tori kind of stomped off frustrated, but I thought that was kind of the end of it. And then a couple of minutes later, I heard crying. And so I was very alarmed. I looked up and I saw my sweet baby girl grabbing this older boy by the collar of his shirt and dragging him off of the dolphin. And I was just like utterly shocked. Like I have never seen this kind of behavior before. And then she kind of like just stepped over him and then proceeded to get onto the dolphin and started playing. And so, you know, I rushed over and by then like the father was there. And so I was apologizing profusely. I made Tori apologize. And then I was just so bewildered that, you know, I got her in the car and we were on our way home. And I just, you know, I just asked her, I'm like, Tori, you know, what were you thinking? What were you doing? Like, why did you do what you did? And she replied, because mommy, I was making it my turn. So, I mean, in that moment, I realized that we're all a little like Tori in God's eyes. How often do we encounter situations that seem unfair and we desperately want it to be our turn?
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. I was making it my turn. Yeah. She actually verbalized what, like you said, we all think, like, when is it my turn? I'm so done with waiting. Yes. And gosh, I mean, that's just like Joseph too, right? When we were studying about Joseph, and he's kind of waiting for his turn to get out of prison, right? And he had to just, things just kept passing him by, which we will touch on in some episodes coming up. But that captures it. Her, she was done with being patient. It was time for her turn. And we get that. Boy, I think that impatience, that can really get the best of me too. And I don't know if you have thought this, Heather, but I actually thought I was a really patient person. I was patient when I was a teacher. I taught elementary school for 10 years. And I thought that was one of my best qualities. And then I became a mom. And I realized, oh, well, when things don't go quite right, that's when impatience has the chance to raise its ugly head. So our best patience training really is when things are frustrating and hard. And when we ask for patience, we sort of are asking, hey, God, make it easier for me so I can show my like human patience. Right? Mm-hmm. Not God's that supernatural.
Like, well, you know, God's going to be like, well, you know, since you're asking for patience, I'm going to teach you how to practice patience.
I know that's a very scary prayer to pray. Don't pray for patience. You might get more than you bargained for. But yeah, you know, our human heart, right? It, you know, we're really, as our human nature, we are selfish beings.
We are.
And unless we are led by the Spirit, we are going to continue to be selfish beings. And we are going to continue to be, you know, impatient. And when I was studying 1 Corinthians 13, I realized the first line of that was in the love chapter is love is patient. And what that told me is that's where everything comes out of first. You have to have the bottom line of love is patient. And this is why we chose to do patience as our first fruit of the Spirit, because that's kind of the cornerstone. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you can see that. So, and for our kids to develop patience, for us to develop patience, we have to remember our human nature is like Tori's, right? She exemplified human nature right there. I mean, we are like impatient. We all want the Happy Meal fix. We want it now, now, now. And God's Spirit moves very differently. And we can see that in Joseph's life. And So what's important for us is to realize that we've got to develop some new patterns, some new ways. So being spirit led and being immersed in God's word and having a relationship with the Lord, those are things that will nurture that fruit. And there's also some other things as moms that we can partner with the Holy Spirit in helping our kids develop patience and also develop it in ourselves. And one of the things that we can do is to train our kiddos in delayed gratification.
Yes.
That, right? I mean, everything has to happen like now, 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 now. And I want it yesterday. And, I want to buy this. Boom. I'm just going to get online and get it today. You know, we are the instant gratification culture for sure.
Especially this new generation that we're raising up. I mean, they are just all about instant gratification.
Yeah. Well, heck, I like it too. You know, I want it. I want it.
We all do. Yeah.
But it's something for us to be very aware of, that we want to help our kids delay gratification. So, and I'm sure, Heather, you've probably used some of these techniques yourself, like, okay, you want to get this new gaming system. Well, you're going to have to earn it, right?
Yep.
That's delayed gratification. Having our kids wait to earn something. Or wait for Christmas, wait for their birthday. Those are also ways. So with moms who are moms of littles, as you're going through the store, and if you happen to be doing that these days, if you're going through the store and your little one sees something on the shelf and they want that instant gratification, and you're thinking, we're going to work on delayed gratification, there are a couple things that you can do to help your child get there. One would be to create a list before you go to the store and say to your child, hey, this is what we're going shopping for, whatever's on the list. As you're going through the store and your child, your little guy, maybe, or your little gal sees a toy on the shelf or even some cereal that they're interested in, but that's something that you don't want to get right now, you can say, oh, let's see if it's on the list. And then you check the list. And somehow that has clout. I don't know why, but it does. And then I think my husband wishes I would follow the list. But anyway, so that it has, you know, it has clout to the little one. And they're like, you're like, it's not on the list. And we can put it on either the next time we go shopping, or you could say, let's take a picture of that and we'll put it on your list for your birthday, which is coming up, or Christmas or Easter. Those are ways to encourage some delayed gratification, which I think is critical for us to develop in our kids. And the Lord is constantly developing that in us. The Lord's timing is his timing. And when we want something, it doesn't always line up with his timing. And I know for me, I can find that frustrating. But if I have practiced delayed gratification, at least I have a little bit more resiliency in that particular area. So anyway, if we can remember that patience and self-control, those things are a choice and a decision. This is something for us as moms to remember. All right. We can choose patience. Love is patient. Patience is an action. Love is self-controlled, right? It's disciplined. We can choose to be that way. We can make that decision. I can think of a time, when my youngest daughter, I don't know, Heather, if I've shared this story with you, when she was like so frustrated when things wouldn't go her way. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, kids, they're just so honest, right? Things don't go your way. You get frustrated and angry. And she started, when she would get mad or frustrated, she'd start pulling her hair out. Oh. And she had this, oh my gosh, she had this spot on her head that was about a quarter size and it felt like whiskers. Because when she'd get mad, she'd keep pulling her hair out. And so what that told us is frustration was really a part of, you know, something that we needed to work on to lessen her frustration, lessen what's in that bucket of hers, because it was spilling over all the frustrations of life. Mm-hmm. So for some of your kids, lessen their frustration by breaking tasks and learning down into smaller bites so that they can feel successful and less frustrated, and in that develop patience in the process.
I still do that with my 14-year-old. I, you know, instead of, you know, giving him his entire list of chores as soon as he comes home, it's okay, so what's the first thing on your list? And then, you know, when he gets that done, it's like, okay, what's the next thing on your list? Because otherwise they just get overwhelmed. I mean, they're just done.
That's so smart to break it down, and really important. And if there's a mom with a special needs kiddo, boy, that's one of the best things you can do for your kids, is to break it down and let them be successful in the smaller things. And, you know, before they move on to the next thing, because it's just too much. Mm-hmm. And another thing that helps us as parents not to feel that frustration or to go to impatience is to do what we can to recognize which power, to avoid a power struggle if possible. And there are some things that we need to know that we just don't have control over. And our child has full control over. And it makes us sad when we realize this. We have no control over them going to the bathroom. We have no control over what they actually ingest, okay, what they eat. But we have some things we can do to help both of those things, the potty training and the eating. But we actually have no control over those things. And we have no control over making them sleep. We cannot make those kiddos fall asleep. Nope. We can set the stage. We can do, you know, sleep training and all of that, but we actually cannot make that happen. We can't wave a wand and say that you need to go to sleep, right? Because sleep happens when it happens. And so to recognize what we can't control and recognize what we can control, things we can control are setting the stage, you know, having options that are healthy food options or times when you eat and when you don't. Those things will help eliminate some of those mama impatient moments if we can kind of set the stage and the guidelines. But to also recognize you can't make them eat something. And if you do, there's a darn good chance that little rascal is going to throw it right up on you.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I think one of the most important things to realize as a mom, and I thought it was really empowering for me when my kids were toddlers, is that the only thing that I can control is my reaction. That's the only, I'm
yes.
responsible for myself. I'm responsible for my reaction. That's the only thing that I can control.
Yes. And don't we need to remember that even as we interact in our, you know, in business, with friends, with anything? I mean, we can only control what we do. And, you know, looking back to Joseph, he needed to learn, you know, when was the best time to say something and what was best to maybe be left unsaid. And we'll be talking about that as well. But, you know, when we talk about patience and we talk about self-control and the things that we're responsible for, we always want to have that wisdom and integrity in, you know, flavored in the way that we have dealings with people, which is something that Joseph really demonstrated. And today, again, we're talking about patience and self-control. And Joseph needed patience in the situation that he was in prison. And as you said, Heather, he could only control what he could control. So he couldn't control the fact that he was in prison, right? He was, but what could he control? His response to that. And he rose to the occasion rather than saying, why, woe is me, I'm in prison. Instead, he did the best he could do in those circumstances. And it just so ties in, Heather, with what you were saying.
Well, yeah, he was in prison. And the only thing that he can control was himself. And so during those moments, instead of saying, you know, why, he said, what now? And he really relied on the Lord in those times.
Yes, that's so good. So good.
You have co-authored two books with Becky Danielson that are additional resources for parents. Raising Up Little Kids with Big Love and Raising Little Kids with Supernatural Love. And both of these books speak about developing patience and self-control in our little kids and our big kids and in ourselves.
Yeah. Boy, these books, I can tell you, have helped a lot of moms with littles. Littles being probably toddler-ish age all the way to the age of 8 or 9, depending on your kid. And sadly, the tween age, some are even saying, has moved down to age 8. But that's pretty rough. But the bigger kids are tweens all the way actually through young adults. And these books are easy to read. They're super practical. And the strategies are easily implemented. It's not some big formula. And what I tell moms who are interested in the books, like when I'm speaking and I describe the books to them, Raising Little Kids with Big Love or Raising Little Kids with Big Love and Raising Big Kids with Supernatural Love. I will say, you know what? Don't read that cover to cover. You do not have time.
No, we don't.
No time.
Nope.
So what you're going to do is you're going to troubleshoot. You're going to go to the index, find the word patience, self-control, temper tantrums, frustration. Find the word, look it up, go to where the index directs you, and boom, you'll have your parenting tip and strategy. And I know that it will be a really great resource for our listeners, because these are qualities we all want to develop in ourselves and our kids, but sometimes we're a little bit at a loss as to how to do that. And then we get frustrated because things aren't going the way that we had hoped, and we kind of end up making it worse. So there are definitely things that we can do to help our kids cultivate that particular fruit.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think it's good to do it, you know, based on parenting in the moment. That's what I love about troubleshooting. It's better to be able to teach it in the moment and help them catch that in the moment versus going through and reading it and then trying to recall, you know, those tools and tips.
Well, hopefully this has been, you know, helpful to moms who want to develop that self-control and the patience in their kiddos. And it just makes me think of this verse from Ecclesiastes and the process that it takes to develop fruit, right? It's a process. It's not boom just because we want it. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, right? Joseph's end was better than his beginning. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. And that's from Ecclesiastes 7:8. Heather, would you be able to close us in prayer?
Father God, we just thank you for all of the moms that were listening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of Joseph. We thank you that we were able to learn how to become better instead of bitter. And we just ask for your wisdom when we're trying to teach our children patience and self-control, and we're teaching them delay gratification over instant gratification. And we just thank you for this time that we have together, and we just ask that you bless every single one of the moms out there that are listening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. We hope this episode encouraged you and has equipped you with some easily applicable parenting tools.
Be sure to subscribe to the Rise Up to Raise Up Faith-Filled Kids podcast so you never miss an episode. And hey, if you give us a good rating, other moms will be able to more easily find the Rise Up podcast.
So yes, moms, give us a like.
And if you want to know more about Lori Wilderberg and me, Heather Riggleman, be sure to check out our website, wearemomstogether.com.
Moms Better Together is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Heather and Lori's conversation today, will you take a minute to leave them a rating and review in your favorite podcast app so more people like you can find the show? This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Hello, my name's Rachel Carmen, and I want to invite you to come over and listen to my podcast. It's called Real Refreshment. For years and years as a young mother, I chased after the wind, thinking that the world could offer me the refreshment I longed for. But it was only when I discovered it in the person of Jesus Christ that I really found refreshment. Come on over and join me as we dig into Bible study. I'll see you there.